The meeting in Iraq. Iranian, Syrian, Iraqis, U.S. What should we think about it?
Had to happen. I made a little note here of something that Ambassador Khalilzad said to you a moment ago. He said the region will not be stable until Iraq is stabilized. It's the one thing nobody talks about. Everyone is concerned about the United States being in the middle of a civil war inside Iraq. But they forget about the fact that if U.S. troops were to pull out of Iraq, that civil war could become a regional war between Sunnis and Shia. And the region, just in case anyone has forgotten, is the Persian Gulf, where we get most of our oil and, I've talked about this before, natural gas. So the idea of pulling out of there and letting that letting that national civil war expand into a regional civil war.
Michael Beschloss, we have a long history of presidents saying, I will not talk to those people, I will not negotiate with those people, unless, and now we see we're sitting down with the Iranians, not talking about their nuclear program, but we're having a dialogue with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that struck me about your interview with Ambassador Khalilzad was when he made the point that I had been authorized by the president to talk to Iranians for at least a year. You know, George Bush, as you remember, just after the Iran Study Group reported in, one of the things they said was, let's talk to Iranians, others in the area. He made a big point of suggesting to Americans, interesting report, but I'm not going to change in response to Baker and Hamilton. In a way, that's what's happening now. But the president and the ambassador are still making the point, we're doing this on our own. We're not doing this in response to what someone else said.
You talk to folks in our military, folks in our intelligence communities. What did they tell you about Iraq, and what did they think we should be doing and where it's going?
Well, most of the generals, I think, welcome this sort of engagement with the neighbors. They're the first to say, always, and it's as if we don't listen to them, you cannot get out of this just by the military.
Iran is in the news a lot these days. That's especially true of its nuclear program, and also its extensive support of terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. But one aspect of Iranian policy has received less attention, its appalling human rights record. A probing new AJC study takes a look at that record. Remember, human rights is everyone's business. To get the full report, go to AJC.org.
Of the world, until the Fords of the world, until the, pick a brand, until they decide that, okay, we need more diversity, or that the stuff we're doing is not working, or we need to open up this bidding process so we can get better idea, a more diverse, pool of ideas, until clients step up and try to then decide to do that, it's not to change. And one of the reasons clients don't want to do it is because, their consumer base has been kind of non-ethnic, their mentality is kind of, our audience is mainstream America, and as long as mainstream America, by and large, is happy with what we're doing, then, kind of screw everybody else.
Right. So,
it's race, color, it's kind of bigotry and bias coloring business decisions.
Right.
Thank you.
Israel has recalled its ambassador to El Salvador after he was found in the streets naked, drunk, and tied up with sadomasochistic sex accessories. Reports say he was able to identify himself to the police only after a rubber ball had been removed from his mouth. BBC World News.
I haven't.
It's entertaining, and some of the points that have been made, at least with reviewers, is that it's CGI script, and it's like a video game, and of course, guys in your age bracket can appreciate that more. But there's a fantastical element to it. Byron's a big fan of it, and Byron made The Line in the Sand, and Byron is probably the. I'm sure, so far as I know, he's the best cinematographer in the white nationalist movement just now, with the most experience in editing in Los Angeles and so forth. But anyway, he was a big fan of it. But of course, then Byron is about 32 years old. And so maybe it's a little bit generational difference. But the movie was produced by Jews, as so many are, from The Matrix and just right on down the line, popular movies. But I think the director was white.
Yeah, I had a friend here on Skype tell me that it was a Purim after party, a real hate fest against.
Sure.
Yeah, but speaking of Byron, they used the same exact application that Byron uses to, or at least. I don't know what he used for line. I don't know. Actually, he did. He used Final Cut Pro, which is what they used for this film, and as well as he's using that for his new film. So.
We have a guy, by the way, on VNN now, and I won't say who he is, but he's an animator, and he's quite good at it. He can do it essentially at the level of a Toy Story, I mean, or one of those major movies. He's very good. He's using high-end software that most people couldn't work with, I think, because of the complexity.
It's very nice that computers have really put so much power in the hands of ordinary folks that if you only can teach yourself how to work with it, acquire it and teach yourself how to work with it, I mean, you can do some really amazing things, as we've
sure.
seen with Byron's film. I mean, I know he did put a lot of his personal resources into it, but relative to what it took to make a film 10 years ago, something like A Line in the Sand is a veritable miracle, and what he's coming up with now is going to be even better. I mean, he doesn't even really like talking about Line. I was telling him that I saw it again, and I really liked the way he filmed it, and he said, "Oh, that's nothing. Oh, that's no. This new film's gonna be so much better," and but he's really excited about it. I can't wait.
I hear Alex there. Is that Alex laughing there?
No, it might
not
be
yet.
A little echo. No, he's not on quite yet. I'm looking at this post you made where you said you wanted to ride one of those rhinoceroses through the hood with some Kevlar and strap a noose to it. I showed that to Mrs. Dietrich. We had a kick out of it, man.
The thing about the movie is, well, Byron made the point to me that there were a lot of niggers in the Persian Empire, because many of those massive empires were all over the map, all over the known world at that time, and conquering North Africa or parts of those areas. And yet, it's nice to see the nigger get kicked down the well and all that, but it's a little too fantastical.
Yeah, you're a fan of, or you're a student rather, of history, as am I. I think I'm a little bit too nerdy for that movie. I could really hardly watch it. It was just so ahistorical and just silly, over the top, and I just said it was kind of over the top anti-Iranian. That's not really what I meant. It was just really over the top ahistorical, because really it's hard to compare what was going on then with today, as far like racially, especially like Greeks. Greek people had colonized the whole Mediterranean basin. I mean, it wasn't, the Berbers weren't even there yet. I mean, there were Semites, a lot of Semites in North Africa, like the Carthaginians, for instance, were Semites. But that was a Greek-speaking world, and Persia was part of the Greek-speaking world, or even in, on into Persia. It was colonized by Greeks. Lebanon.
Yeah, the Greeks that they're portraying at that time, I would think, would have tended to be more long-limbed and long-headed and Nordic, as the statues reveal.
Very much so. Yeah, the statues. Mm-hmm. That's what's neat when I'm talking to non-racialists, and I'm saying, well, you know, the Greeks now and the Greeks then are a little bit different, and they say, how so? And I say, have you ever seen a Greek statue? Does that look like a Greek to you? You know, but yeah, but you're
well. A lot of people just aren't sensitive to that until they've lived some decades. You know, they just can't perceive those things, and it runs so contrary to everything that's been drummed into their brains. You know.
But your post here says, I hadn't been aware till now that Iranians were giant orcs, coal black niggers, fat spick faggots, and rhinoceros riding horsemen. If I can train one of those CGI rhinoceroses to let me ride, I'll put on head to toe Kevlar and ride it through the Quaz ghetto on a spree. Probably that rhinoceros had a backpack nuke bound under its belly with a gir strap. Anyway, all the jog has to do is form and market a special Sparta division for 17 through 19 year olds and offer a Happy Meal and $1,001 sign on bonus with a new 500cc Chinese knockoff motorcycle thrown in.
Yeah.
I thought that was a kick. You're like, no problem. But you've become, it was really funny stuff lately.
You know, man, it's frustrating to see these young guys in Iraq and perhaps in Iran. It's very frustrating because.
It is, man.
Yeah, they're, a lot of them, they're not. They're maybe not having at that age as much access to information as some of us, some of we white nationalists have had in our lifetimes. And
yeah, I think I'd seen on your, was that on your blog that you were talking about that, or that you had a picture of this one Marine that this Jewish did a photo shoot on, and it was in Salon.com. But some Jewish did a photo shot, a photo series on this. I think, God, he's like 20 years old or something. It's ridiculous, and he doesn't even look like a human being. He's just burnt. He looks like he's melted, and this from an IED attack in Iraq. And his young wife is standing with him at their wedding, and he's just deformed, and he just looks like he's wearing a Halloween mask. The poor guy, and he doesn't have an arm and. He really does. He looks like he's been melted, and it's real sad. And
that's a real horrible picture. There was another one a few years ago of a spick who, a Mexican invader who was in a car crash with a policeman, and the fellow looked. Actually, he was even worse.
Really?
So you know, whites are fighting these wars on different fronts at the southern border and in. The confluence of having to fight for Israel in Iraq and perhaps Iran, and the awareness of this is growing, and that's the good thing. And I think that to stop the war with Iran is one of the most, maybe the most important thing right now white nationalists can do.
I don't know. I wouldn't worry about that. We're not going to war against Iran. We're not going to bomb Iran.
You don't think we'll do that?
No, we're
or
not.
I'm
pretty sure. Religiously. Yeah. It's hard to. It really is hard to. Or at least for me to remember not or to not say we, but it is at the same time liberating to understand that this huge, ugly monster that just goes around and kicking doors in across the world against people we don't have anything really against, people that didn't do anything to us. It's really nice to know that it isn't us, even though implicitly we kind of know that. I mean, do we? I always ask my fellow students that. Do you know anyone who acts that way? Do you know anyone who acts that way? Well, then why does the sum total of this country, if this is a democracy, the sum total of our wishes is at least in some way supposed to be represented through our leaders. Why in the hell are our leaders commanding our military to go do this? Well, because they're not our leaders, and we didn't elect them, and you know, everything in between. But in the meantime, it is really sad. I mean, I see guys on campus in the new little menacing camouflage that the United States military is using now, the little digital pattern, and it really looks like something out of Star Wars or something that bad guys would wear. It really does.
I haven't seen that. Post on your thread to the show if you will.
Sure.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's the new outfit. It's the new camo uniform. but it's done in like a digital Apache digital looking thing. But yeah, and it looks like something that the bad guys, some type of movie, would wear. But it really is sad.
Speaking of what is going on in Iran and so forth, there's this 60-minute YouTube or Google video that was posted on the forum, and it shows this woman named Rita Katz, and she runs a thing called the Site Institute. She's an Iraqi Jewess, and her father was a spy for Israel, and so they were run out of Iraq many years ago. But on the CBS 60 Minutes segment, and it runs quite lengthy, they interview a brigadier general, and he's saying how they're seeing 16 and 17-year-olds turn up on the battlefield because of the politicization they're receiving from the internet. And of course, he's talking about Arabs, but
yeah.
Fortunately, white people are getting truth propaganda too about Zionism and its effect in the world, and Jewish ethnocentrism and its effect on the United States. So there's a corroborative thought there.
Yeah.
And in any case, this Rita Katz and the Site Institute, they tout how it's a super secret organization and so forth. Then I began to look her up, and she's on a speaker's bureau. She's willing to go around and speak, who knows, $3,000 or something.
Right.
And that's incredibly frustrating. On the one hand, CBS, which is owned by Viacom, 76% owned totally by that 76% by Sumner Redstone, who's Murray Rothstein, and he also promotes this MTV filth. He owns that. We have to repeat that because new listeners maybe don't know. But anyway, it's just nonstop propaganda in the United States against the interests of white people. And if all this money wasn't spent on these wars, maybe our young people could take their proper places in universities and in technical schools and get the lives that they deserve.
Oh, certainly. I mean, that's where Jews are, as one person remarked on the forum in the past week. You know, hey, where are all the Jewish war veterans? Oh, that's right. They're at university, you know, getting the good jobs and, you know, getting the girls and all that. That other good stuff. I mean, it's
working with Hillel to promote their interest as
as
a group of young students.
But I'll tell you what, I'm one of the although I have good days and bad days, but overall I definitely believe that it's the organizations that Arabs have, for instance, using the internet to organize and to distribute their point of view. That's coming over here. I believe that's what this surge in nationalism is all about. The international press is mostly Jewish, and it's been anti-nationalist. And this nationalist groundswell, the reason it's happening so quickly is simply because it's almost like something that's been held back for so long, and the dam's almost—it's almost as if the dam is beginning to burst. You know, the internet is actually letting someone get a non-Yid word in edgewise, and
sure.
And once that happens, you know, it's just so damn refreshing that, and you know, we're seeing that. We're seeing the beginnings of the war in earnest, as far as just in the past week, this. Is it Viacom that's suing YouTube or Google?
It is Viacom, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you almost wonder, or, you know, not almost wonder, but it really is. It's the first big battle of Web 2.0, and it really doesn't make sense unless you understand that they're just really uncomfortable with having this open medium out there.
Sure.
And having people, and the way I say it, it's not like it is to a lesser degree, but I believe and I don't think enough people get at this, media commentators get at this, it's not that citizen reporters are going out there and making their own content really as much as bloggers are re-editing the news, you know, whereas mm-hmm. You can open up the newspaper or go to CBS.com or turn it on NBC or one of the big three. And there's roughly 12 to 15 stories that are in heavy rotation throughout a normal 24-hour news cycle. And they're basically repeated across all the services, and whether you live in a big town or a small town or whatever. And you'll see a lot of times important stuff that they don't want you to see on 36, you know, F or whatever. You know, it'll be way back in the back and somewhere in the paper. It'll be a little blurb. Oh, yeah, by the way, Israel bombed a UN post in Lebanon.
And the hush crimes, Alex?
Of course, the hush crimes that they will not mention. They won't even put that in the F section. They just won't print it. They're just not printing it at all. But what blogs and what this web and the aggregation that this Web 2.0 stuff allows one to do is it allows you really to get something worthwhile from the drinking from the fire hose. I mean, it actually allows you to get something. I was talking to Alex yesterday. I found a blurb of his in the Truman State College rag. Some kid wrote something really retarded. Not really important, but just something kind of dumb about, oh, Alex Linder, and he has a lot of propaganda, and we should just ignore him. And just a couple little non sequiturs that him and I were laughing about. But, you know, that... And it was like, you know, where did I get that from? It's like, well, I have Google News set up to catch that stuff. You know, I have...
Mm-hmm. RSS feed?
Yeah, like RSS. And even in Google News, you can create your own RSS searches. You go to news.google.com. You can, like, run a search, for instance. You put Alex Linder, for instance, in this case, in quotes. You run the search, and it generates an RSS feed that you can then put into your RSS reader. And when it updates, and any time... the name Alex Linder pops up in the news, you're notified about it. And I do that for like a lot of subjects that I'm interested in, a lot of people, a lot of different subjects, and you don't really miss anything, whereas I don't have to wait for Florida Today to cover something I'm actually interested in. So it's pretty nice. I'm glad, and I can imagine that if I were the Jew, at least I'd be sweating bullets over this, just because this whole system relies on people not perceiving their own interests. Mm-hmm. And people, and especially like in the United States, people not even being allowed to perceive that they are even a population. You want to talk about Jewish...
Or people.
Yeah, you want to talk about Jewish hatred. And, I've been talking to at university, and I said, you know, it's Jewish hatred towards white people, a Jew was like, well, who's white people? And I'm like, exactly, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. You won't even acknowledge that we exist. It's just, you know,
the difference is that they mask their true motives in a veneer of egalitarianism, whereas whites, as a people and as a culture, were very transparent and straightforward about what we think.
Yeah.
Most usually, of course, that's been corrupted in the past 40 years or so, more than that, 50 years, even more than that.
Well, it's not even corrupted in our own interests, though. But I know exactly what you're saying, and I agree. But it's not even corrupted in the direction of our own interests. It's corrupted in the it's corrupted in the way that we only act more and more Jewy, but it remains in the interests of Jews. Like this war, like all these wars, and whether we're going to bomb Iran and our stuff in Iraq, it's like this moralizing stuff that and it's like, God damn, you almost think that we couldn't get any more Jewy, and you turn it on MSNBC, and there's Glenn Beck, you know?
You're talking about the aggregate of information flooding all over the world now and going back and forth. And you mentioned something about throwing things back in the news, and I thought immediately about this rebranding of videos. And you've probably seen, I've become really interested in that because several guys, Colonel Kurtz and Panzerfaust and Racially Motivated and a number of others. I'm sorry, I forgot some, but
Boot Girl.
They've been. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, like Boot Girl. You've been putting out a number of videos lately. That seems to be a cool new thing.
Really simple ones, but these guys started it, and they put GoVNN or VNNForum.com or GoiFire.com.
Right.
And this has to have a fantastic influence all over to drive people to our website so that they can begin to view what our arguments are. And they, so many whites now are already experiencing cognitive dissonance with what's going on in internationally with these wars we've been talking about. And they're ready. You know, they're primed for the message. And the dollar is... you know, it's tautological to go over this ground over and over, but everyone knows the problems with the United States dollar.
Yeah.
And so if we rebrand these videos assiduously, we can really make a difference if more and more of us learn to do it. It's quite simple to use Windows Movie Maker. I just use the simple one, but other guys know much more.
Well, the effect is very good. You had one on the Chan and Christian murders where you juxtaposed the horrible news of these murders with some really foul jungle rap.
Yeah.
That,
but if guys just rip even a news story, a straight news story, and just put it back on there, as long as it has our websites, or even I did one today, even I used Tyrone and Butts' logo because it was about it. For people who don't know, Tyrone and Butts is a acronym for typical nigger behavior, and then the Butts part is sort of like a hot and tot ass or something. It's very funny. And Tyrone, how many Mark at Big Nation News used to keep track of all the Tyrones. He'd say Tyrone arrested. He did that for about 4 years. I think it just got too laborious.
Right. We'll see.
But anyway, yeah. And so it had Tyrone Butts' avatar, and you know, the tooth flashes out, the gold tooth, and then it says newnation.org. And I think New Nation, just the fact of the crime stats, like a lot of whites do not accept or will not, cannot, haven't made the connection with reality and the actual stats that niggers are murdering seven times the rate of whites.
Yeah, it hurts them. It's hard to come up with a word that really expresses fully their. If you've seen Idiocracy, it's like with the guy freaking out saying, you're unscannable, like you're a baby eater or something, or you're a cannibal, or just, I don't know, it's really hard to find an analog for how freaked out they get. I was reading Kirksville Today in the middle of the week, and there was a, Alex was talking about, it's Kirksville Today, Oh, no, it's just KirksvilleToday.com. That's right.
Kirksville Today, yeah.
Yeah, and, which is Alex's personal blog. And he was talking about, I believe, the Channing Christian and Chris Newsom murders and black crime in general. And he was just mentioning it, and these people were really, like, angry at him, and he was just talking about it. You know, it's like, why do you hate sharks for reporting shark attacks?
I have to read that. I didn't know that. I'm glad to know it's annoying them in the Midwest and in Missouri. I'm from Missouri originally, and that's
like,
that's so good. I'm pleased to hear the forum organizing about that to make it a new Kingston or a new Toledo, and I'm sure it's going to happen.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of between now and then. There's going to be a lot of talking and. Some planning, and it really does. If we do it correctly, and that's going to be the thing. Really, it's not going to be hard. Doing it correctly, doing it in a way that's politically smart, is going to be the feat. That
we may make a few small mistakes, but the fact is we all have a long track record of having worked together and made. Quite good successes that the Aryan Alternative and the White Patriot Leader and Goyfire at Free Talk Live, they did so many things. And also, VNNers have gone to many of these demonstrations too. Kingston is an example.
Yeah.
And, even the Capitol demonstration years ago that Billy Roper.
Right. But the potential payoffs to a rally, and is it Knoxville, I believe, but a Christian Channing Christian awareness rally has a lot of potential, simply because it can take it has the potential to take the stress off of these evil Nazis walking down the street with their signs, and it may actually cause some people to say, why are these people more concerned about these guys that are dressed in nice clean clothes walking down the street very solemnly with these pictures of this pretty girl who was chopped up and poured they poured Drano down her and chopped them up and put them in five garbage. Are you kidding me? You know, why are they mad at these kids instead of reporting, you know, I never heard about this. What the hell, you know? I mean, that...
Well, they will hear about it after we're done with it.
It has the potential, I mean, to actually take the stress off of the evil Nazi haters, quote-unquote, which is what I believe should be the goal. It's the only real way something like that's going to be we talk about judoing the Jewstream press. That's going to be the way to do it, is to just make them overreact, make them overreach, make them overhate.
Hal Turner used to say in Yankee Jim, and they were entirely right, that look, in Columbia, Missouri, just a week or two ago, when just a few guys from NSM were down there, you know, they call out enormous overreactions of government-paid workers, you know, SWAT teams and helicopters and police. So if only 50 or even 100 people, a very small number, show up in these cities, they have to spend literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, there are 173,000 people in Knoxville. They can afford it, but... we can set a pattern and we can set a precedent. Actually, the precedents have already been set with Kingston and other places.
Yeah. But you know, the answer is to keep learning from to keep learning from mistakes, and to and to keep trying to game the system, because we can't go right up against it. And as Aryans, that's what we want to do. We want to be honest and take the high road, and to say, I challenge you to a duel, and go right up against it, where we'll be squashed like a bug. But I think we're finally thinking smarter after years of trying to do it the honest way, like as laudable as it was, like Mr. Rockwell. He just honestly was outraged and tried to fight the Jew, and he unfortunately was not successful. But I think if we're a bit smarter and a bit more politically savvy, we might be able to really rock the boat and have the media actually act as a force multiplier, which would really
well,
be
stop
nice.
And think how orderly the United States was when Rockwell was alive compared to what it's like now. And look, it's going to take perhaps decades, who knows, but the Boons in the 60s, when they were out in the streets, they had the willing accomplices of the Jewish and the Chavez Goyim media, and even the Spics were in the streets last April by the millions, and white people just silently watched them on TV.
Yeah.
And I watched them for 2 days. I watched that straight on cable channels, back and forth all over, and I talked about it at the time. If I remember correctly, it was 2 to 2.5 days before I heard a single commentator, with the exception of Lou Dobbs, mention all the Mexican flags. And that is astounding. There's a great sickness abroad in the United States, and there should be lots of PhD theses written on it. Because,
yeah, it's true.
It's remarkable
mm-hmm. that, and you talk about cognitive dissonance. That's exactly what that is, that people can sit there and watch that news on the television and not wonder, hey, why are these news people not mentioning, you know, I can kind of see on my television these Mexican flags everywhere. What else is obvious that I'm not, or what else am I not picking up that they're not telling me about, you know? I mean, it's hard to know, and Alex has been on this a lot lately, and exactly right. You don't know what you don't know, you know, what people don't tell you. I mean, if, you know, like, for instance, in my area, it's almost entirely white, and you would never really know that there was a Mexican problem, or that there was massive amounts of TNB. You wouldn't really perceive these things unless you got more exposure to the rest of the country.
You've told people where you are, having. I wanted to mention. I know in general. I don't want to say it if people don't know.
What do you mean? Who I am? Like, I'm a university student. Yeah, I haven't told you. I
You know, have you told on the air what state you're in?
Yeah, I don't want to say it. Yeah, I live out on the Florida coast.
Oh, well, yeah, I knew you were in the eastern seaboard there, but let me say that in Mecklenburg, North Carolina, which is where the Mecklenburg Declaration was written, which was actually a document that is believed to have preceded the Declaration of Independence.
That's where Raleigh, North Carolina is, correct?
Right.
That's okay.
And there was a famous mayor of D.C. around 1810. I can't remember his name for the life of me now, but I have his autograph, and he wrote a great dramatic script, like 4 inches long, and he was a great historian. And they said that he had one of the two copies of the Mecklenburg Declaration in the storefront of a bookshop, I believe it was, he had, I think, probably after he was mayor, when he was an older man, but I think that was around 1820. He's a famous historian. I can remember it and mention it on Goyfire. Anyway, this place is enormously historical, and I remember posting on Stormfront about 4 years ago and researching it, that county in Mecklenburg, that very historical U.S. county, it said sent five county workers down to Mexico to find out how they could better service their illegal invader population in Mecklenburg County.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It's bad news.
Well, so. Bush was just touring all around in South America. He went to go see the some Mexican government officials, and they chewed him out and said that you need to cancel this fence, and you need to help our immigrants and our illegal immigrants more. And he said, yes, indeed, we'll be doing that. You know, it's unbelievable. But yeah, it's right about time to have Alex on.
Please do. Yes.
Yeah. Would you like to stay on for a little while? I know it's very very late there in Estonia.
I'll stay for 5 or 10 minutes just to say hi to Alex. That's about it, though. I am a little tired. It's about to. It's 4:41 over here,
yeah,
in the morning.
Wow, okay. All right. I'll play a quick tune, and we'll be right back with Alex Linder and Craig Chain Cobb. This is the Friday edition of Free Talk Live with Dietrich, March 16th. We'll be right back.
If you missed VNN Broadcasting's premiere of the Wednesday edition of VNN's Free Talk Live, you missed.
I wanted to tell you about something I saw today, and I want to know, since you live in Detroit, if this is something you've seen. I saw a nigger today, and on his car, he had two of the spinning rims, but they were only on the left side of the vehicle.
That's called layaway, motherfucker.
So he's on the left.
Adam from DetroitIsCrap.blogspot.com joins VNN Broadcasting Wednesday nights.
And what would happen if David Duke came to Detroit? Or, you know, Alex Linder, God forbid, came to Detroit to give a speech? Huh. Do you think the man fucking anywhere would embrace him? I don't think so.
I don't think I would embrace him. Actually, yeah, that would be fun to give a speech and rile up the monkeys.
Oh, wouldn't it?
We all have been lied to. You are not, in fact, equal to humans. You are somewhere in between monkey and man. It is necessary that we constrain you for your own good.
Free Talk Live is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.